Lord, we do thank you this morning that we can come and we can pray and bring our needs to you today, and do pray for these special needs. We thank you that Payne's granddaughter was born healthy without any complications, and Lord, thank you for your blessing there. We do continue to pray for Rusty, that you would work in his life as he has a scan Tuesday, that it might be something they can treat and be helpful with him, and that he might come to a full recovery. Think of the Brobecks, Lord, with cancer, with Jeff and Janet with heart trouble. Lord, we pray that you touch them and minister to them. I pray that somehow through this they might get in church, you might draw them to yourself. Do pray for Mildred today as she's sick. We pray that you would touch her, Lord, and thank you for her faithfulness to the house of God, and just minister to her today. Do think of Johnny and the family today, for Lisa, Rosemary, that you would comfort them and encourage them. Bless the service today there at the graveside, and just minister to them in these days. Pray for Mary now as they go to Nashville. And Lord, our heart's desire is that the aneurysm would not have grown and would not be a problem. And pray that you just bless there and give them safety as they travel. For Diana's relative that passed away, we pray you'd comfort that family and minister to them. Pray for Bobby Stonecipher, who fell and has cracked a hip. We pray that there in the nursing home there be healing, and you do work there. And for Shannon Lewis, Lord, has been on our list for a long time and still really struggling, and pray that you touch him physically and minister to him. For Bobby Bristow, for Pam's mom, we pray that you would help her there. She's had this concussion, and you know the needs in her life, and pray that you would just continue to help her to recover from this and minister there. And Lord, as we look at your word this morning, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and minister to us. Lord, you've laid this topic on my heart. You've laid the same topic on our pastor's heart. And we just pray that all throughout the day today that the word of God would minister to people right where they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Right by the fairgrounds. Right behind Gray Funeral Home. Okay. Do you know how to get to the fairgrounds? If you get to the fairgrounds, you're there, sister. You are there. I mean, it's right by the fairgrounds. Okay? All right, good. This morning, I'm going to do something a little unusual. We have been going verse by verse through 2 Thessalonians, and typically that's what we do. Today, I'm actually going to be teaching from a song. For Christmas, the Wakefields gave us a CD of Becca and her sister singing, and I began to listen to it, and there was a song on that CD that just really ministered to my heart and just has continued to do that. I'm actually, if all goes well, going to sing that in the service this morning. But there are just some great truths in this song to help us as we enter the new year. By the time we come back next week, if the Lord tarries, we will be in 2016. And as we look toward a new year, no doubt there'll be many great times and many victorious times and great times of rejoicing and all kinds of great things. But it's also undoubtedly true that there'll be some difficult times. Some of us, maybe many of us, will go through some trials that are totally unexpected. And they won't be mountaintop experiences, they'll be more like valley experiences. And we won't struggle too much with the mountaintop experiences. We do pretty well with those. But it's those valley times in the valley that are very difficult for us. And this morning, what I want to help you with is how to have victory in the valley. And I'm going to give you four words this morning, and they all start with S. And I hope to get to the last one. If not, you'll hear three words and we'll be done, all right? But we'll try to get them all. But I want to, again, help you to have victory in the valley. The second verse to the song that I'm going to sing this morning says, "There are days when clouds surround us, the rain begins to fall, and the cold and lonely winds won't cease to blow. And there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel. We are tempted to believe God doesn't know." Now, there are times in all of our lives like that, and my first point is right there in the text of the song, and that's the word suffering. Suffering. Suffering is universal, isn't it? Why do we suffer? What's the source of suffering? Help me out a little bit. Sin is the biggie, isn't it? And think about the original creation. Before the fall, there was no disease. There was no disharmony, disunity. There was no death. There were no disasters. There was no discouragement. There's no depression. Think about that. None of those things were available or in existence in the Garden of Eden before the fall. Wouldn't that be great? But obviously, man's sin changed everything. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." Even creation is groaning, waiting for the redemption day when God makes a new earth and a new heaven. And every one of us are in the same boat, aren't we? We think, well, God must not love us. If God loved us, boy. No, look at the original creation. That shows you God's love. Because of man's sin and man's fall, the natural course of life is sickness and difficulty. Many of you remember, how many remember the Raines, the Raines family? They had a daughter named Amy. She was a friend of my daughter Sarah's. And she had a saying, here it is. Life is hard and then you die. Isn't that encouraging? Very positive young lady. But you know, the simple matter of fact is, there's a lot of truth to that. There are difficult times in life because of the fall, because of sin. Some of our problems come from self, don't they? Much of our problems are self-inflicted wounds. We've had quite a crowd at our house, and Christmas Day we were here at the church. We had my wife fed 25 people. If you see her going like this, you'll understand why. But group played nine square. We played nine square. They played for like 4 hours. And it was just kind of funny. They talked about self-inflicting wounds. You know, you try to hit the ball hard on somebody else, and it would go down and say, yeah, you put yourself out. You killed yourself. You know, isn't that how life is a lot of times? We sin. We make some stupid mistakes, maybe habits of life, sinful choices. And boy, we reap the wages of sin, don't we? And it's all, I tell you, often as you meet new people and you're out knocking door to door, people miss the church, and they start giving you a litany of all their problems, and many of them are things that they cause in their life. So, you know, the fallen world, self. Thirdly, to keep the S's here, the scourging of the Lord. There are times when God chastens his children, aren't there? In fact, in Hebrews 12:6, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth." Now, I want you to think, are you awake? "For whom the Lord loveth, he's really good to." Right? Wouldn't that be logical? I mean, for whom the Lord loveth, he gives everything they want. All right? I mean, for whom the Lord loveth, he blesses and blesses and blesses. What does the verse actually say? "For whom the Lord loveth, he scourgeth." Wow, that's a strong word. That word is used 7 times in the New Testament. 5 times, what's the context of that word? Christ's crucifixion. When the soldiers scourged the Lord Jesus Christ. And that shows you how difficult that is. And he said, if God loves you, he's going to scourge you. Now, we'll talk about the reason for that in a moment as we move on the lesson. But folks, simple matter of fact, God disciplines his children. So there's the source of suffering. Secondly, the suddenness of suffering. Isn't this amazing? Now, I don't want to use my brother for every illustration, but when he had his accident, think about it. Life changed like that. Like that. Think about it. You go to the doctor and you get a phone call and life changes. Someone calls you on their phone and say, oh, this happened to, and life changes. Boy, I tell you folks, sorrow can come very suddenly. No warning, very quietly, very quickly. Life can change, can't it? Life can change. So the suddenness. Thirdly, the sorrow of suffering. Think about it. I mean, great physical pain. Joyce is still up in the hospital. Bless her heart. She is just really struggling. Really struggling. She wanted to be home for Christmas, and obviously that didn't happen. And all kinds of physical pain and suffering. Think of the mental pain when things go against you and you're just in turmoil. And then, you know, what about spiritual pain? I thought God loved me. I thought God cared about me. Now, don't look at me so pious, okay? Because we've all been there, haven't we? And we question and we say, wait a minute. Suffering, folks, comes to all of us. Now, that's kind of the problem. Let me give you three words that are solutions, okay? In the chorus, it says, bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father. When the answer goes beyond what you can see, bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven, and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of his plan, listen, in the presence of the King, bow the knee. The first word is suffering. What's the second word? They all start with S. In the presence of the King, some of you theologians, that's one of the words, but I'm going to get to that in a minute. What's a king?
Sovereign.
Very good. Thank you, sir. The second word is sovereignty. The sovereignty of God. What is the sovereignty of God? Well, obviously the word reign is in sovereign, and God has authority over everything. The sovereignty of God, I wrote this down, refers to his undisputed authority and rule over every aspect of his creation. He is king of everything. And folks, God is going to work, and God has got a plan, and he's sovereign and ruling over it. I think it was Vance Havner. I hope it's the right guy. What's his name? I've known him. Bishop. No, not Bishop. Charlotte Bryant. Thank you. Old. I turned 56 this last couple weeks ago, and boy, I tell you what, it's taken a toll. Told the story of his wife. Vance Havner's wife was an Olympic swimmer, very, very talented, very fit, and had a stroke or something and just went through difficult times, and he cared for her until she passed away. And here's what he said. He said, God has the right to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, and to involve anyone he wants to involve. What a great truth. He is sovereign Lord. He is the creator. And now think of how he's displayed his sovereignty. Well, obviously in creation. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. Think about that, folks. Does our God have power? Just think about it. You look around you, how'd all this stuff get here? God spoke. He spoke, and there was light. There was the sun. Have you seen the full moon last couple of nights? Just last night? Sorry. I've seen it for three or four nights, Dave. I don't know, man. the water, the dry land, the plants, the animals, mankind. Think about it. God, of course, man, he didn't speak into existence, but the rest of them, God spoke, and they were. You think God is sovereign over everything? God is sovereign in the birth of children. I've been reading in my Bible reading in Luke the last several days. And the story starts in Luke chapter 1 about Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was past childbearing age, and they had no children. And we know they'd been praying for them because her husband Zacharias was a priest. And he was in there, and as he was ministering, an angel came to him. He says, your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a child. And so, obviously, he had a little faith problem, and God said, okay, I just won't let you speak for a while. And the boy was born. His name was John. By the way, why did she not have John until she did? Was there a reason? Yeah, he was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't come until it was time for Jesus Christ to come. God was sovereign in that. And then in the very same chapter, we read about Mary. And the angel comes to Mary and said, oh, you're a virgin, but you're going to have a child. Now stop and think about what that meant in her life. What are some possible things that could have happened to her because of this? Could have been stoned. Joseph could have said, well, you've been unfaithful. I'm not going to marry you. And yet in that time, what did she say? She said, and I thought I had it by notes here, but I do not. She said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. What was she doing? She was telling the Lord, yeah, that's good. It's a good thing. God was sovereign in all of that. Now, again, we don't have much trouble with thinking about the sovereignty of God with good things, do we? You know, the Payne's grandchild was born healthy, no problems. Oh, wow, God is good. God is wonderful. God is sovereign. What about bad things? Let me ask you a question. Is God sovereign over bad things? In James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. What? Every good gift comes from God. And we don't struggle with that. But what about when Job says, Job had all these troubles. And he said to his wife, his great strengthener in a time of need, he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speakest. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? What did Job understand in his trial, folks? God was sovereign. Now, did he understand why? No. Oh, by the way, in what are the 42 chapters in Job, God never told him why. But Job understood it came from God. Remember, he said, oh, that I could know where I could find him, that I could come before his presence, that I could plead my cause. Well, he knew it was from God. Think about Moses, when Moses, God had called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And what did Moses say? Well, you guys have eaten a lot this week, haven't you? It's like, what did Moses say? Come on, folks. Find somebody else. Why? I can't speak. I stutter, you know. And what did God say to him? And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Now listen. Or maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Why are people born blind? Because God is sovereign. Now, that's a little harder to swallow, isn't it? Why are babies born healthy? Because God is sovereign. Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, wonderful. Why are they born with problems? Because God is sovereign. How many of you remember Davy Butler? Yeah, Davy was in our class for a long time. And Davy was born with Down syndrome. What a blessing he was to our class. You know, when he was born, the doctors told his parents, well, you just need to put him in an institution. And, you know, he'll never do anything great and never be able to read, never be able to do any of these things. And he'd just be a drain on your life. And they said, no, we're gonna take him home. And what a blessing Davy has been. I miss him. He moved down to Columbia, South Carolina. They're in a church there. And their music guy there is named Dave Smith. And I see him from time to time. And David's in his Sunday school class, and he talks about him and everything. And I said, man, I wish he was here. Something that, humanly speaking, is bad. But boy, God sure used that boy, didn't he? What an encouragement and a blessing to us. So we see suffering. Secondly, we see the sovereignty of God. And I just want to encourage you folks, we need to remember, when things don't go the way we think they should, God is still on the throne. God is still ruling. God is still sovereign. Now, we talk about this a lot, and I guess the reason is because it's such an important truth. God is sovereign. All right, let me give you the third word. And you see if you can pick it out. It starts with S. You're one for one, so you get two. Yeah, I was going to move you up some more, but you're about as... I guess you could just teach. Yeah. Here's the chorus again. Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father. When the answer goes beyond what you can see, bow the knee, lift your eyes toward heaven, and believe the one who holds eternity. And when you don't understand the purpose of his plan, in the presence of the King, bow the knee. You got it? Submission. Submission. What is submission? I looked it up for you. It is a willingness to yield or surrender to somebody or the act of doing so. You know, we can say, oh yeah, God is sovereign and everything, but if we don't submit to that willingly and joyfully, we've got some real problems. I want to turn to James chapter 4. Turn to James chapter 4 and verse 6. It's amazing to me how often when people go through trials, they do the exact opposite of what these verses say to do. In chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Notice verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. When the trouble comes, when the suffering comes, can you say, thy will be done? Boy, that submission is difficult, isn't it? It is not easy. But let me ask you, how is it possible to submit to God when you don't like what's going on? What do you got to remember? That God is sovereign. That he's in control. That he has a purpose and a plan in our lives. And of course, there is no greater example, of course, than the Lord Jesus Christ. As he prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Think about it, folks. He knew all the physical suffering that he was going to go through. He knew that he was going to take the sin of every person upon himself. And I don't know, I guess we could say in his humanness, he didn't want to do that. And maybe we could say in his divineness, he didn't want to take the sins of mankind upon himself. And he's praying to the Lord and he says, oh God, Father, if there's any way this cup could pass from me, if there's some way that you could redeem mankind other than this. But what was his response? Not my will, but thine be done. Folks, that is the answer in the trial. Lord, not my will, but thine. That's the submission. Now, I want you to think about the danger of not submitting. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, just over a couple pages. Someone tell me the context. What's found in Hebrews chapter 12? Passage about what? Hebrews 11 is a hall of faith. Hebrews 12, witnesses, but moving on the chapter toward the middle, the chastisement of the Lord. We've already talked about it, haven't we? Okay? God's chastisement, God's discipline. And look at verse 15. This is the context. When God disciplines, when God works in our life, and he says in verse 15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Look, if you don't submit to God in the trial, he says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. What's he saying? If we don't submit in the trial, what are we in danger of? Bitterness and rebellion against God. And it affects us, and I didn't finish the verse, but notice the end of the verse, and thereby many be defiled. Wow. Did you ever stop and think about that? That if we don't respond to suffering in the right way, not only would it hurt our lives, but it could hurt people all around us. When that bitterness, that root of bitterness And what does a root do? Well, it produces a plant, and it produces fruit, and it produces all kinds of things. And he said, look, folks, when suffering comes, when things come your way that you don't expect and you don't like, you've got to submit to the Lord. You've got to. In Isaiah 45, 9, it says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. And he used an illustration, let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work he hath no hands? What are you doing, God? That's what he's saying. Woe is unto the person who said, God, that's not fair, that's not right. I don't deserve this. Well, that's a great saying, isn't it? Wow. If we got what we deserved. Dr. Bob Sr. said, young man, your arms are too short to box with God. Boy, there's a great truth. There's a great truth. You say, what do you do? You submit. You remember what he said in Isaiah 55, 9? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Does God know more than you do? Well, I sure hope he knows more than I do. Or we're all in big trouble. Sure he does. When you go back to Hebrews chapter 12, why does God do it? For our profit. God wants to make you better. And Mark, you probably remember this. Years ago, we went to the wilds. And the speaker said, one of two things are going to happen when you're in a trial. You're going to get better, or you're going to get bitter. That was probably 25 years ago or more. I still remember that. You're going to get better or you're going to get bitter. When you will submit in the trial, God makes you better. When you rebel, you get bitter. Submission. All right? You got them so far? First, number one was? Suffering. What was number one? Suffering. Very good. There you go. Number two? Sovereignty. Number three? All right, let me give you one more and we're done. This is not in the song. I'm sorry about that. But it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's found right in the text. We'll start in verse 7. And it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now listen to him. What did Paul write? Well, most of the New Testament. Now, you got to admit, you know, if God has used you to write, you know, 13 books of the New Testament, you know, almost half, you got to admit, you know, you're walking around and you're somebody. By the way, I did write 13 books in the New Testament. Just want you to know. I mean, God has really used me, you know. And God revealed great, great things to Paul and had heavenly visions and all kinds of things. And he said, you know what? God didn't want me to get proud. And so this thing is in my life. And he said, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Boy, have you been there? You prayed. And God didn't answer your prayer. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough. But folks, that's exactly what happened to Paul. And the Lord said, no, Paul, I'm not going to answer. But here's our fourth S. But my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly. Now listen. Listen to Paul's response. Is this not submission? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Now think about that. How many of you ever gloried your infirmities? What do we glory in? I am really somebody. I mean, look what God has done for me. I must be special. I mean, I am. Boy, this is. No, Paul said, not going to do that. I'm going to glory in my infirmities. This guy's a nutcase. What's wrong with him? Why did he do that? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, here we go again. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Why? For when I am weak, then I'm made strong. Why? Because God's sufficient. What a great truth. What a great truth. When you're going through a trial, aren't you glad that God will always be enough? He'll always be enough. Because he's sufficient. He is sufficient for the trial. In the valley, he is sufficient. Now, are people always sufficient? Will the church always be sufficient? Will your family always be sufficient? Will you be sufficient? And the answer to all those is no. But God will be sufficient. Now look, if God fails to be sufficient, then he has ceased to be God. Now if that's the case, we're in big trouble, okay? God said, my grace is enough. It's enough. Now the devil will come to you and say, oh, and get your mind going, oh, never going to make it. Never going to make it. It is just amazing how our minds work, isn't it? Twice this week I heard sirens and I thought, where are my daughters? You know, let's see, are they on the road or where? Isn't it amazing how the devil works? I mean, he gets you going, can't he? And before you know it, you're at a graveside, you know, in your mind. And of course, nothing happened at all. And the devil will tell you, oh, God doesn't love you. God can't help you. There's no way you can make it through this. Oh, you might just well hang it up. Might just go home and cry and just you know, there's just no way you're going to make it. It's over. But God said, no, I'm sufficient. I'm enough for your need. I don't have any idea what you're going to go through this year. I don't have any idea what I'm going to go through this year. I have no idea. But I can stand on the truths of the Word of God. That whatever happens in my life, God has a purpose and a plan, and it's for my profit. And hallelujah, if he takes me to heaven, that's a lot of profit. Now folks, suffering, great trials may come in this year. They may. We don't know. Now, it could be a year of total victory. Hallelujah. That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? There may be some great trials. There may be some valleys. There probably will be some valleys. Some will be really deep. How can you have victory? Remember, God is sufficient. God is sovereign. He's ruling in all the events. And he's sufficient. If you will submit to him, and you're going to hear more about this in the service, rest in him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And you're going to hear part two in the message this morning. And he shall sustain thee. That's his promise. That's his promise. And folks, if we'll do those things, now I'm not, you know, we're all human. We all are. I'm not saying there won't be any struggles. I'm not saying that your faith may waver. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm saying the solution is to trust in a sovereign God and let him work in your life, knowing that he's strong enough, he's wise enough, he has a perfect plan, and he's working in our lives. And if we'll submit, God can make us and use us in very special ways. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these truths today. And Lord, we pray that you would just drive them home to our hearts. Lord, if there are folks here this morning who are in a valley, who are struggling, I pray that you would help them and minister to them, that they would be able to trust in a sovereign, sufficient God who is working in their lives. May your Spirit drive these truths home to our heart. And help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.